Volunteer surf lifesavers are worried that executives at the top of the organisation are prioritising surf sport competitions over the core business of saving lives. They say safety features for key lifesaving equipment have been compromised, and it could put the safety of lifesavers and beachgoers at risk. Catherine Gregory reports.
It was born on the Emerald Beaches of Sydney more than a century ago.
Each one of these men joined a surf lifesaving club, not because it meant parading up the beach in colourful costumes with flags flying, but to save lives and to be a member of one of the grandest associations of amateur clubs in the world.
The lifesaving movement has spread as far as South Africa and Ireland. The local surf club is like an extended family. It inspires fierce loyalty. But in the last few years, that loyalty has been tested.
Do you regret the treatment of volunteers?
This is a charity.
Last month, a former Surf Lifesaving New South Wales executive was charged with allegedly embezzling nearly $3 million from donations. There are also questions being asked about the lack of proper governance at SLS New South Wales, which a former club director said had the effect of lowering public trust and confidence in the clubs.
Obviously, someone was asleep at the wheel.
Ron Rankin is the former president of Surf Lifesaving Australia.
There needs to be changes, and obviously the governance wasn't working, the management wasn't picking up on it, and it sends a message to the whole organisation to be more conscious of what's going on in their own administration.
This follows a period of high turnover in Surf New South Wales' upper ranks. In 2016 alone, a third of the board resigned. David Murray became president of Surf New South Wales when the problems, including investigations into the club's finances, was first discovered.
We were instructed by the government to do a forensic audit on the whole organisation.
But he says his attempts to modernise the organisation faced a lot of resistance from the old guard. David Murray also wanted information from Surf Australia about long overdue upgrades to the internal systems, including the communication system known as Surfcom. It's the system surf lifesavers use to record and report emergencies. The ABC has learnt that last summer, during peak periods, Surfcom was offline at least 8 times.
And when that goes down, that's crucial to location, crucial to the patient, and frustrating for our members. And I get wonderful lifesavers saying, what the hell's going on with the system? And I'm saying, it's not our system. I'm trying to change it, and we need to address those changes with Australia.
David Murray says his requests for information about this was stonewalled. Surf Australia denies it. Still, it was one reason why he resigned in March. Here's the current CEO of Surf New South Wales, Steve Pearce.
You know, I'd have to say, you know, in his tenure as the president, he did a magnificent job for the organisation in regards to coming into a period of turmoil and turbulence. And David, through his actions and the board's directions, obviously did upset some people within the organisation because we were heading into a different direction.
As president, David Murray wanted information from Surf Australia about funding of equipment for surf sports compared to lifesaving, but he found it hard to get answers.
We're a rescue service, a volunteer rescue service. We run a very tight financial ship, and that you know, any surplus funding or any government funding related to an activity in sport is to be managed professionally.
Richard Budd is the go-to man for all things safety equipment at Surf New South Wales. He's on a committee that advises the executive on what boats and jet skis lifesavers should use. He says Surf New South Wales is struggling to meet its core objective.
We've evolved, but we're not evolving fast enough with the support gear to meet the needs of the public and government, that we're going to patrol big areas. And there is a concern. And it's not just my concern, there's a concern across the board that we aren't gearing our people up correctly for that.
He says that lifesavers on the front line are being left in the dark.
It appears to me that as volunteers, we've lost control of our organisation. It appears down on the coalface, down between the red and yellow flags, the members there aren't being heard or their concerns are dismissed.
Richard's biggest concern is that surf lifesavers don't have the equipment they need to do their job properly, and that's putting members and beachgoers at risk. The ABC has seen financial analysis by an independent auditor showing that in 2017, 19 clubs in Sydney's northern beaches put more than 15% of their total expenditure into surf competitions, while less than 6% was spent on lifesaving. The national body, Surf Australia, has told the ABC that at their level, lifesaving does get the majority of funding. Surf Australia's CEO, Adam Weir.
You know, a lot of the government funding that's provided to lifesaving, and it's not all the funding that goes to lifesaving, there's a lot of revenue from our commercial partners which also flows through to lifesaving.
Adam Weir also says that investing in surf competitions actually helps train up the lifesavers to do their job better.
What's great about our sport is that it's actually designed to keep our lifesavers rescue ready.
That's Surf Australia's CEO, Adam Weir, ending that report by Catherine Gregory. And you can hear her full background briefing investigation on the ABC Listen app.